Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. If you go to Revelation and turn left, work your way back there. Titus chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 9 and 10 in just a moment. Last week we talked about how to be a rebel. We talked about the reality that in our culture, so much has become the norm that the only real way to be a rebel in our culture today is to actually live the Christian life. There's so many things that we could do that are just part of the normal way of life, so they're really not rebellious anymore. So if you really want to be a rebel today, you've got to live the Christian life before people. Be a living example of the love of Christ. Today I want to talk about how to be a rebel in the workplace. What does it mean to really live like a rebel? What does a genuine Christian look like? We need to be witnesses in the workplace. Now, I realize, looking around the room, there are a couple of you in here that are retired. That does not mean that you're excluded from this sermon. The reality is we have an impact wherever we go. Wherever we are, living the Christian life applies to us, and we have a ministry. We have an opportunity to reach out to others. Christians ought to be living, breathing examples of Jesus Christ. And certainly, in our workplaces, we ought to be a living reflection of Him. We ought to be employees that employers look for because we work in such a way that we glorify God in what we do. This morning, I want to look at a text that gives us some guidance on how to be a rebel in the workplace. And I'm not talking about going into your workplace and knocking over the water cooler or anything like that. I'm talking about living for Christ, being that example in the workplace. So let's take a look at Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Titus chapter 2, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word today. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. May the Lord add richly to the reading of His word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for Your love. I thank You that Your word is the truth. Lord, I pray You'd open our hearts and minds and help us to see how we can indeed be a rebel against the cultural norms of the day so that we might be a light for You to a lost and dying world. God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that You might increase, that Your truth would be spoken here. It's in Your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to be clear. I know that this text refers to slaves, and I realize that some of you in your workplace, you feel like a slave. But the reality is the common worker of the day for the Roman Empire, the average worker for the day in the Roman Empire, would have been a slave. So for you and I, for those of us who work or have worked for a living, the reality is this does have application to us, even though we're not slaves in the sense that they were. But we are people who should be under submission. So as we look at this text, we're going to learn five characteristics that a Christian should exhibit in the workplace. Five characteristics that a Christian should exhibit in the workplace. First of all, a Christian worker should be submissive. Now in the opening of verse 9, Paul told Titus to urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters. Now notice, Paul does not address the issue of slavery. And you can look throughout Scripture and you will not find that the Bible addresses slavery directly. However, slavery has been abolished in more than one culture because of the teaching of Scripture, because of the reality that God teaches that we're all equal in His sight, that we all have value in His sight. So the teachings of Christianity have had a lot to do with the reduction in slavery through the years. I feel certain that Paul would exhort any of us who work to be submissive to our employers. We are to have a servant's heart in all that we do. As Christians, our responsibility is to put others ahead of ourselves. So regardless of where we work, regardless of what we do, we are to be putting others ahead of ourselves. We should be willing to do what's asked of us and even go the extra mile. The Christian employee should not be one who fights against the leadership or against the employer. Now, I don't believe Paul would tell us to do something unethical. I certainly don't believe that he would tell us to do something immoral or illegal. But I do believe Paul would tell us, as long as it doesn't fall under that, that we should be submissive and honor God as we seek to work for Him, as we honor those that we're employed by. Submissiveness, however, is not passiveness. It is simply having a servant's heart submitted first and foremost to God, that we might show others the love of God in the things that we do. In reality, this should become a natural part of our life, whether we're in the workplace or elsewhere. We should be serving God as we serve others, and submitting takes strength. For each of us as Christians, we ought to have that kind of heart. If we're completely honest about it, we'd realize that we live in a culture that teaches us to be self-serving. We live in a culture that teaches us to do what we want, to care about ourselves when something happens, to look to ourselves and how it affects me, rather than thinking about how it affects others. I know my natural reaction is to think about me and not how it affects others. We have to let God change our hearts and to change our minds that we might focus on Him. He'll help us to see others as more important than ourselves, in spite of the fact that it doesn't come naturally to us. That's the love that Jesus has already demonstrated to us. That's the way we're to love everybody, even when it may be hard to serve them. Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to put our needs ahead of His own needs. Take a careful look at your attitude everywhere, but especially in the place where you work. Be honest with yourself and examine how you deal with your employer and how you deal with those that you work with. You should have a submissive spirit, a servant's heart in dealing with others. This is not to be confused with telling everybody what they want to hear so you gain their favor. Instead, this is honoring God and serving one another. Submissiveness in a Christ-like way simply recognizes the authority that God has placed in your life and doesn't resist doing what honors God, even when sometimes our pride might want to push back against us. If the boss asks you to clean the bathrooms, then clean the bathrooms and do it for God's glory. Whatever God puts upon you, He'll give you the strength to get through. So be a rebel in the workplace by being submissive to your boss. A Christian worker should be submissive to his or her boss. Secondly, a Christian worker should be committed to excellence. In verse 9, Paul tells the worker to be well-pleasing. Now, the word that's used here in the Greek almost always is used in the New Testament in reference to being acceptable or pleasing to God. I've already said our work should be for His glory. Whatever we do in our work should be to lift God up, to glorify God, to point others to Him. We shouldn't accept a half-hearted effort from ourselves. Here's the thing that I'm afraid sometimes bleeds over into our work and bleeds over into every area of our life. Please hear me on this. Too often in our Christian walk, we accept a half-hearted effort from ourselves in our Christian walk, and that bleeds over into everything else that we do. We don't need to give God half of who we are. We don't need to give God a little of who we are. We need to give God all of who we are. He didn't die on a cross so that He could have 1/5 of our life. He didn't die on the cross so that He could have 50% of our life. He died on the cross so that He could have all of our life, to pay the price for our sins so that we could live for Him. And when we give Him our all, then we're going to be more likely in the workplace or anywhere else to give Him our all in everything that we do so that He's glorified through the things that we do in our life. I don't care what the minimum is that our employer asks of us. We should work to exceed the minimum and do our very best. I'm not saying we have to make things harder on ourselves than they have to be, but I am saying that we give our very best in what we do. If you're a perfectionist, you may try to do things to an extreme. Be careful that you're not doing things to an extreme and putting a pressure on yourself that doesn't have to be there. But instead, seek to glorify God. God loves you through His grace, not through your perfection. The reality is, our very best is filthy rags before Him. Our very best doesn't meet up to His righteousness. So we can't do anything to earn His favor more than we already have it. He's already given us His Son to die in our place. But work not to accept mediocrity from yourself. God deserves our very best. In the workplace, we need to be the employees setting the standard for others. Setting the high standard for others. And we ought to be people of integrity in the things that we do and say in the workplace. If there's something that we can't do, we need to be honest and say that we maybe are physically unable or just don't have the skill to do it. But whatever we can do, we ought to do for His glory. This mindset should be true in our Christian walk, that we do everything for God's glory. We shouldn't settle for mediocrity in our Christian life. Sometimes we excuse it by saying, well, I can never really be that good anyway. It's not about you being good. It's about God transforming your life. It's about God changing our hearts and our minds, that we be more like Him. Ask God to help you and give Him your very best, and He will work in your life and transform the way that you think. So we see a Christian worker should be submissive, and a Christian worker should be committed to excellence. Thirdly, a Christian worker should be respectful. A Christian worker should be respectful. In verse 9, Paul also tells the worker not to be argumentative. There's a difference between giving an opinion and being argumentative. I don't ever argue, I just give an opinion. Okay, that's not true. There are times when our employer will want our opinion, and we need to share our opinion and be honest in that. But there are also times when we have to recognize our employer doesn't want our opinion. And there are times when we're better served to just remain silent, to go on and do what's been asked of us, and to honor God in it, even if we don't agree with it, even if we think it's a bad idea. If we're going to glorify God, remember the first one was we be submissive to those He's placed in authority over us. I know for me personally, I'm a bit analytical in my personality type, and sometimes when I've observed something being done over and over, if I see that it's being done inefficiently, I have a hard time not speaking up. If I see a better way for it to be done, a smoother way, a more efficient way, it's sort of like watching the way that our country does taxes. I keep praying one day that may change, but it is government and things change very slowly. However, if you have that and you know that about yourself, if that's a part of your personality type, be sure that you're working not to be argumentative, but instead to glorify God. It may be that you can help your employer. It may be that your employer wants your opinion. In those cases, speak up, but be sure to do it in an appropriate way, a respectful way, not an argumentative way. Sometimes you may think that your boss has a bad idea or is out of touch, but sometimes we don't get to express that no matter how much better our opinion may be. When you do get the opportunity, give your opinion and do so with respect and don't attack the person. Avoid saying certain things like harebrained or short-sighted. Those may not be the best choices of words. I pray for my kids every day that they'll treat others the way that they would want to be treated. And if we'll live by that in our relationship with others and in our relationship with our workplace, we'll do much better. I know whenever I have to give constructive criticism to someone, I always first of all stop and say, if I were in their place, how would I want it to be handled? How would I want someone to speak to me? Would I want to know? Is it something that I would want to know about? Or is it something that I would want them just to let go of, that it's not that big a deal? So I try to make sure that I ask myself those questions. When you're dealing with your employer, you have to ask God for wisdom. And when you do feel led to speak, make sure you're glorifying God in how you go about it. Keep in mind, as Christians, we sometimes have to remove the speck. Listen, we sometimes have to remove the speck from our brother's eye. But you know what the Word of God tells us? We make sure we've dealt with the plank in our own eye first. Sometimes we use that passage as an excuse not to address the speck when that's not at all what Jesus was telling us. He was telling us that we need to make sure we've been in the prayer closet first, dealt with our issues so that we can see clearly to remove the speck from our brother's eye. Sometimes we have to do that to lift our brother up. I admit, I like to be right, but being right with the wrong motives is not constructive and not God-honoring. We need to glorify God in what we do. So we see a Christian worker should be submissive, should be committed to excellence. Thirdly, should be respectful. Fourthly, a Christian worker should be honest. Now, I said before that a slave or worker would be entrusted with a lot in many cases. A lot of times, look throughout Scripture, you see, I immediately think of Joseph and all that he was put in charge of in Potiphar's household. There are multiple times throughout Scripture where you see a subordinate, a slave, was put in charge of a great deal of stuff. we need to make sure that when the employer puts us in charge of things, that we take care of what he's placed in our charge, that we honor God in how we handle that, we honor God in how we treat that. The word many goods in a household, including money, would be under the management, and Paul was telling them not to mishandle it. And the word that's used there is a Greek word that carries the idea of embezzlement, of taking from the owner. Certainly the Christian worker ought to be the kind of person that can be entrusted with all that belongs to the employer. In a sense, we ought to be able to be people that the owner can give the keys to the store to, and everything's going to be handled right. I remember one summer during college, I worked in a Revco drugstore there in Augusta, and a lot of times, most of the time, I would run a register. And this is back in the day before all the electronics. I still remember we had this book that sat up on our registers, and when someone brought a credit card, you know, we had to put them. Some of you have to tell the young people around you about these things. You had to run them through these impression things when they'd sign on that duplicate thing, and then we'd have to look in that book to see if their number was anywhere in that book. There was none of this just immediate communication and all that kinds of things that we have today. But one of the things that we had to do every night was to count that till back. And man, it used to aggravate the hound out of me if that till wasn't spot on. I wanted it to be accurate. I wanted it to be right. It mattered to me whether or not it was right to the penny. There was more than one occasion where it wasn't right to the penny, and there might be a little bit of change come out of my pocket to get that thing right to a penny, because I didn't like for it to be off. I wanted it to be right. It ought to matter to us. Our integrity ought to matter to us, and we ought to be honest in the things that we do. Are you the kind of employee that your employer knows will handle things honestly? Are you the kind of employee that can be given the keys to the store? Your employer should be able to trust you, knowing that you're going to honor God in what you do. Your employer should know that being honest is very much a part of who you are. Ask God to help you be more conscious about what you're saying or doing wherever you go. We live in a day and age where so many people have such distrust that even a contract doesn't matter anymore. Whatever the latest court ruling or what, well, I'll take you to court for this, even, you know, I'm going to get out of this contract. So I'm going to, as Christians, our word ought to matter. It shouldn't take a contract for us to stick to what we say. As Christians, we ought to mean what we say, and we ought to follow what we say. If we've given our word, it ought to be exactly that, our word, and that we're going to do it. As long as it's remotely within our power to do, we're going to do it. And if we say we're not going to do something, we ought to not do it. Our word should matter. Remember, even when your employer is not watching, God is. And in our own lives as Christians, even when we look around and think, well, you know, I could do this. I mean, after all, nobody's watching. God's watching. It shouldn't be about us as Christians that we've got this persona that we put on when we come to church. Now, here's what I want you to see about me, and then when we close the doors of our house, we're a completely different person. That's not what God has called us to at all. We ought to be the same in the church as we are in our home. Maybe dressed a little differently, but the same. We need to be people who don't have to hide things. Let's just be honest. If your Christian brothers and sisters were to come to your house this afternoon, are there things you'd have to put away? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, dirty clothes or things like that, because we all have that, okay? Let's just be honest. We all have that. But are there things you wouldn't want the chairman of the deacons to come to your house and see? And if that's true of our lives, we're not living a life that honors and glorifies God. Be honest as a believer. Be genuine in what you say and do. So that there's never a time. You see, the thing about honesty is you don't have to figure out a story each time you retell it. You're just telling the facts. As Christians, we need to be honest in all that we do. And people should know that about us. So we see a Christian should be submissive. He should be committed to excellence. He should be respectful, and he should be honest. Fifth thing that I want you to see is a Christian worker should be loyal. Now, upon first reading, as I looked at the phrase, showing all good faith, I made an assumption that this was talking about faith in God. However, after examining the phrase, I found out that the word showing has to do with proving or demonstrating, and that faith here can also be translated faithfulness. I think Paul's intent may have been more to say that as a worker, we are to show or to prove ourselves faithful to the employer in all that we do, to our masters, and that can be summed up in the word loyal. Be loyal. We live in a day and time when loyalty is a rare commodity. Some of you are old enough to remember when there was a day when someone would go to work for a company, they'd work 30 or 40 years for them and then retire from that company. That day is gone. That's an exception nowadays, not the rule. You see, nowadays people go to work for somebody and then the employer is not loyal to them. The employer decides, well, you know, we're looking at the numbers here and we're just going to have to cut workforce. So we let people go. This is all about the bottom line. On the other side of that, you see employees who are not loyal. As soon as a better opportunity, greener pastures come up, they move. And I've definitely seen cases where someone would move laterally from one job to another to have opportunity to move up later because they knew where they were, they couldn't move up. And I'm not saying any of that is particularly wrong, because the bottom line is, for us as Christians, we need to do what God is leading us to do. But we need to make sure that we're first and foremost loyal to God, and then honor God in being loyal to those who we're employed to. Again, I'm not saying that's a sentence that we stay there forever. That's not the case at all. But I am saying that we honor God in how we deal with them, and that we're loyal to that company as long as we can be, as long as they've not paid us less than they should have been paying, or put us in a situation that becomes unethical or something that we can't live under. We should be asking God always if we're in the right place, if we're doing the right thing, if we're serving Him in the right job. It may be that God does move us somewhere along the way, but we need to make sure it's God's moving and not our moving. God should be the one guiding our moves, and we should be loyal to Him. And whenever, just because there's an open door doesn't mean that God has opened that door. I want to say to you carefully, please hear me on this, open door theology is not biblical theology. An open door is not always God's open door. We need to pray that God would give us clarity in knowing whether or not He has opened that door, whether or not He would have us to do that. I will readily confess that I am a Coke fan. More specifically, I'm a Diet Coke fan. I drink Diet Coke. As a matter of fact, I literally got to the place where I was drinking too much Diet Coke that it was physically hurting me. I had to cut back on how much Diet Coke I was drinking. It's not a good thing to drink too much of Diet Coke or any sodas for that matter. But if I go to a place that says, would Diet Pepsi be okay? My answer to that is, no thank you, I'll have water. I literally do not like the taste of Diet Pepsi. But I have learned through the years that people who work for Coke, their employer, Coke, is so intent about it that they do not want their Coke employees to drink Pepsi products. But lest you cast dispersions toward Coke, that's also true of Pepsi. They don't want their employees to drink Coke products. I've even heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've even heard that those who work for a PepsiCo company like Taco Bell or Pizza Hut or KFC, they're even instructed not to drink Coke products. That's a level of loyalty. That's a definite level of loyalty within that work. For you and I, our loyalty first and foremost has to be to God. And as long as He has put us in a place to work or to serve, we ought to be loyal to God and loyal to where He's placed us. We ought to glorify Him in everything that we do in that place. And if you can no longer be loyal to the employer, that it could be that God is making it clear to you that it's time for you to move to something else. God may be opening up another door. Sometimes God makes us uncomfortable where we are to move us to something else, because sometimes in our apathy we become too comfortable and God has to make us uncomfortable to see that He has something else in mind for us. But anytime we find ourselves in a situation, we need to make sure that discomfort is of God and not just us getting dissatisfied, but make sure that God is putting that in our heart if he's leading us to something else. Pray that God would help you have the wisdom to be first and foremost loyal to him and then to be a loyal worker, that you honor God in that workplace. The result of doing these things is that your work will adorn the doctrine of our God and our Savior in every respect. When we seek to honor God in what we do in the workplace, God will be glorified through us. You heard me say just a little while ago, even right here in the state of Georgia, over 70% of the people in our state are lost. Lost. Right now, today, as you sit here in church, over 80% of Gilmer County is not in church. Over 80%. If there was ever a time that we ought to be a rebel for the kingdom of God, now is the time. We need to be shining lights for him. Wherever God gives you opportunity, wherever God places you, you need to be a light for him. And here's something I want to say to you. It's great that you're here in church today. That's an awesome thing. But if this is all you do for the kingdom of God, you're not doing much for the kingdom of God. There's a lost world out here that doesn't care that there are cars in this parking lot today. There's a lost world that you come in contact with every day that needs to see Christ in you. We don't need to be Christians at church. We need to be Christians in the community. We need to be off this hill and in the community reaching out to people. We come here to encourage one another, to hopefully get our batteries charged so that we can go shine like crazy in the community around us. I want to encourage you to consider your witness, your testimony to the world around you, and be intentional every day to be a light for him, to reflect the characteristics that are the characteristics of our God. Set yourself apart by being a rebel for the kingdom of God in our community. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, I want to encourage you right now to realize this. Jesus Christ left heaven and he came to earth for your sin and for my sin. As a 6-year-old boy, I understood enough to ask God's forgiveness and to place my faith in him. And as a 6-year-old boy, I invited him into my life. I didn't understand everything about being a Christian at 6 years old. I can promise you at 50, I understand a lot more today than I did, but I also understand this, I still have a lot to learn. So I don't care how much you know about God, if you don't know God personally, if you don't have a relationship with him personally, you are not saved. But you can be today. Ask his forgiveness and invite him into your life. No, you don't have to know every doctrine of Scripture. You won't know every doctrine of Scripture. But know that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that he died to save you from your sin. You can have that forgiveness right now. Christians, I pray that we would look for opportunities to be that light, to be that witness to the world around us that desperately needs to see it. I can promise you the mission field is ripe unto harvest right now. God is calling us to be his workers. Let's be willing to go out into this harvest and bring in a harvest for him. It's God's work. It's just our obedience and sharing and being a light. God will do the hard part. Let's trust it to him. Maybe you're here today and you have some burden, some hurt. Maybe there's somebody in your life you've been praying for that you know needs to know the Lord. This altar is open. Come and kneel at this altar. You can pray from where you are, but give whatever that concern is right now to God and trust it to him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your love, for your amazing grace. God, help us to indeed stand out, to be counter-cultural in how we live. Lord, to be a rebel in everything that we do because we're living for you. In a society that is turned against you, God, help us to stand up for you. God, I don't know what hurts and what burdens are here today, but I pray your hand would be upon each one. Minister to the needs that are represented here today. God, for those who are here that don't know you, I pray they'd recognize their need to know you, to place their faith in you right now. God, we give this invitation time to you. We ask you to have your way in this place for your glory. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen.